And joining us directly from thecrowhouse.com, another guest from Down Under, is Max Egan. Of course, always a pleasure having him on the show. Max, welcome.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on again, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. Donnie Gilson is guest hosting. Cherie's out of town this evening. But Donnie, Max, Donnie.
Welcome, Max. Welcome.
Pleasure to meet you, Donnie.
You know,
Max, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is this whole Kony 2012 thing. I'm sure you've heard of it. If not, you know, what's amazing is that this video has something like 30 million views, and it was only released a couple of days ago. And
what?
So that leads me to believe, yeah, there's some kind of CIA involvement or something. But this Kony guy apparently is supposedly some kind of child trafficker and child – he's raising a child army down in South Africa or some part of Africa. And they want to send American troops over there to take care of him. And not only that, but they're also giving out GPS bracelets to the supporters of this movement so you can track your GPS bracelet with your iPhone at all times. It's absolutely maddening. But, Max, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, it's a pretty major smokescreen, I think. I mean, on one hand, it's great. Sure, we can unite the human family to a common cause. That's great. So that might prove to people that we can actually do this. But I mean, focusing on one man who isn't really the problem. I mean, the problem is the system that created the man. That's the problem. And the whole GPS bracelet and all this stuff, yeah, I mean, this is just outrageous what they're doing with this. But really, it's the system that created the problem. It's not Kony. I mean, Kony's been there for a while. And sure, he's done some bad stuff. Having a child army, I mean, this has been going on for 20 years or 25 years or something. So it's a bad thing. The only good thing about the Kony movement is that it might show that the people can actually unite for a common cause. But again, we need to address the problem that created Kony, not Kony himself. Because, I mean, they're also saying it all goes until December 31st, 2012, right? So we'll tie you up for a whole year focusing on this one man when there's all this other stuff going on. So I said to someone the other day that while your right hand is waving the Kony flag, you need to watch what the government is doing with the left hand, because it's for something to get this big this quickly, it's obviously a smokescreen for something else.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a way for us to go in there, take over that region and strip mine. I mean, just look at the people that they're begging to go over there. Not the supporters, but they're begging the United States government to go in there. And when was the last time they did anything except for rape and pillage?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, if they're really that worried about human rights, what's been going on in Burma for the last 60 years? You know, oh, that's right, no minerals in Burma. So there's your problem right there.
Well, what about white phosphorus being dumped on Palestinians?
Exactly. I mean, it's not about saving the children. It's never about saving the children. Children are a great tool to use to get the public behind something, but all the government does is lie, so there's definitely something else going on, and we don't want to be putting troops into any other countries. We want to be bringing all the troops home, because it's American foreign policy that's created a lot of this situation. But again, it's all theater. I mean, it's all run. It's just doing what it's supposed to do. You know, that's what America was basically set up for. It was set up to be the muscle.
Right.
You know, if you look at the world, it's the three city states and how they run it all. It's doing, you know, America's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And everyone's blaming America and the Americans. It's not that. It's the system that's been in place. And it's all been puppeteered. You know how it works.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm willing to bet that if you tracked Kony's resources, you would find some kind of funding coming from the Western powers. I mean, we have the National Endowment for Democracy, which funds all of the quote-unquote revolutions. But I'm sure there's some ties there, too, to the Western powers, to all of these. I guess I don't know how you would describe him. Is he a drug lord? Is he a warlord? I guess a warlord would be the best.
Well, he's just a warlord. I mean, he's not fighting for any particular cause. He's just his own, basically his own nation unto himself, and he just kind of travels around Africa with his army and lives wherever he wants. And he's got this army to defend his own power, his own space. It's just about, you know, him against the world, basically. That's what it's all about. And he gets his army by kidnapping kids. Gets the kids to kill their parents, gets them to mutilate other kids and slash up other, like, really does some terrible things. He's a bad man. And his whole army, over the last 26 years, he's kidnapped around 30,000 children and made them all part of his army. That doesn't mean he's got an army of 30,000 people. It's just that's how many people he's kind of gone through along the way. So He does it to maintain his own personal power. And look, it's a bad thing that he's doing. And it's terrible what's happening to all these kids. But you've got to look at it and say, well, why would he be in a situation where he has to do that to begin with? Well, it's because of this system, this whole system that enslaves the whole world. And we can address that system and not just focus on this one individual. And look, the people they're telling you to contact, I mean, you know, George W. Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, Angelina Jolie, I mean, what the hell? She's got ties to the Council on Foreign Relations.
Right.
I mean, it's a complete scam, and these people can suddenly look like they've done something. Oh, look, we did the right thing. We got Coney out of the way for you. And meanwhile, while you were watching us do that, we did all this other stuff behind your back that you don't even know about, and now you've lost all your rights and the whole – it's game, set, and match. We distracted you for the next 12 months. That's what it's about.
Exactly, exactly. Do you think a lot of this is a distraction as well from the potential war in Iran and everything that they're gearing up for in that region?
Look, there's all sorts of stuff going on, Chris. I mean, I think even the war in Iran's a distraction. I mean, the things that are actually going on around us environmentally, energetically, the legislation that's being introduced, some of the legislation they're bringing in here in Australia is outrageous. I mean, there's a 400-page report that was just delivered to the government that is basically suggesting blanket censorship of any anti-government speech. It's basically what it comes down to. And it's doing it all in this nice little candy wrapping, but this is what it's saying. We've got electroshock therapy being brought in for 12-year-olds. We've got laws in England saying that you can identify or a report in England by a discipline expert, whatever that is, you know, saying that you can identify people that are going to fail in society and turn out to be criminals and all this sort of stuff. You can identify these people at 2 years old. And that kids that show signs of anger at 2 years old, right? Every kid's angry at 2 years old because it's the terrible twos. It's where you find your boundaries, you know. So they're saying if you see a two-year-old kid and it's angry, this kid's going to be a danger to society and needs to go into a special disciplinary institute at age five.
They're trying to push that here. They're trying to do that in the United States.
Yeah, so no thinking outside of the box, kids. None of this trying to find your boundaries. You don't have any boundaries. You're a drone. If you're going to get to 2 years old and think that you can be the king of the world, no, we're going to teach you that you're a drone right from that word go. And that's what they're doing. So, I mean, no more entrepreneurs, no more thinking outside of the box. You know, it's unbelievable what they're doing. So it's blanket. It's right across the board. They're doing this in all Western countries, and the Western countries are out, you know, trying to chase down Coney and stuff like this. They're not looking at what's going on in their own backyards.
Right, absolutely. Donnie, anything you want to comment on?
Well, you know, what I was going to state, you know, is that, I mean, they're really trying to push this on the children here in the United States. And, you know, your guest that you had on earlier where we were talking about the indigo children, I believe what they're trying to do, they're trying to dumb down the energies of these children that are coming into this world, so that they can, as you say, they want to make them into drones, into their little drone army, to do their bidding.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's exactly what they're doing. I mean, kids are being born very aware, and they're coming into the world and they're looking around going, this is all messed up.
Oh, yeah.
Reality isn't supposed to be like this. Uh-oh, you got ADD. You got this. You got that. I mean, everything is a disorder. Anytime you think outside of the box, we got a disorder name for you, and we're going to drug you, and we're going to train you to walk only between the lines. You know, that's what they're trying to do. And it is, it's to, because the kids are very aware. I mean, the energy's changing, the frequency's changing, the kids are being born, and they're very, very aware. So they're really trying to squash that.
It's a sad thing, you know, because, I mean, these kids are our future, and to have them, I think we're going to see a turnaround, though. I mean, I think we're going to see some of the kids coming in and fighting back. We're seeing that in teenagers, especially like between that 13 to 16-year-old group. We're seeing them kind of come out on their own and say, hey, I'm not going to take that Ritalin. I'm not going to do this. This doesn't feel good for me. I need to be exploring on my own. And, you know, I think it comes down to the bottom line is, will the parents bleed into this? And if the parents bleed into that, then we got some problems for the kids. But if the parents are educated enough and understand what's happening and they're awake enough, of course we can maybe stop this.
Well, I think people are waking up. I think that's why all this new legislation is coming in, because the elites are just, they're horrified at how many people are waking up. Yeah, and the more negative they make it, I mean, I look at it all and I say, well, it's not law anyway. It's just statute regulations. It's designed to remove law from the planet and replace law with the will of politicians. That's all legislation is. So none of it really phases me. I just see it and I see it all as fiction. It's just, it only exists on paper. And the more they do, then the more people wake up to how corrupt the system is. And eventually, I mean, there's more people than there is this paper that they wrote. So eventually it will reach a critical mass and the people will change it. Now, what we don't want, I believe, though, is we don't want violent revolution. We need to just walk away from the system. That's the best thing we could possibly do, is to realize the system's fiction and just walk away from it. But, you know, people have to be aware of it and they have to apply their understandings and their energy to the world in which they live. There's too many people that sit in a narcissistic bubble of love and light, and they believe that if they're in that high energetic state, they're going to change the world, but they're failing to apply it to the world around them. Now, you've got to be that way to the people that you meet in Lakesh, everybody that you meet. It's basically yourself. Don't judge these people. See these people as valid. Everybody's valid. Even if their perspective of reality is wrong, it's still valid because mm-hmm. it's based on all the information they had up to that point. And if you've got stuff with people, or you've got a problem with people, then it's your problem. It's not their problem. It's you having a problem with reality. And people have to realize that and they have to get over that. I mean, even the bad people have a valid perspective. I don't hate them for what they do. I believe that I can change them from what they do. If I had a supportive, loving community, I think they would change by default. And I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want them all to come home. That's the whole thing, is to really view reality as if there's only one of us here. It's just different aspects of ourself that we're experiencing. And we have to treat each other that way and approach each other that way. Treat each other in Lakesh as each other. And suddenly the whole system just changes in 3 seconds. That's how we do it, I believe.
Absolutely. Hold that thought, guys. Let me reconnect back to the Oracle Network. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, speaking about the importance of realizing how the system is operating and has manipulated us and what we truly are, that we're infinite beings, we're infinite consciousness, we're spiritual beings, and the entire system has been completely designed to keep us in that low, low level state. And I think that's been a theme of the show, for the entire show with all our great guests, Nancy Wallace, Alex Defoe, and Max Egan, of course, getting to that higher level. But I'm going to give you guys a little treat real quick because we're kind of on the topic and I put these lyrics into this song and I think Max will kind of like these here. So this is a song that Cherie and I are working on right now. I'm only going to play the first minute or so of it, but, it's for the upcoming album, the follow-up to Global Resistance. I'm not sure what I'm going to call the album, but here you go, guys. Check it out.
So when my heart gives up, then my veins won't pump, then my lungs cave in, you know I gave you my soul.
Anticipated morning star still shines. Never see me fall or fade, and elevating every mind. Even those who hate, make them hit rewind. Cause they feeling what I'm saying. Clean air's getting scarce. Poison in the sky, radiation through my body, but the light still shines. CHS in my face, it's case dismissed. Now these haters get mad, cause I wrote paper lists. Murdered my own person, resurrected my soul. Standing over the system, staying out of control. No, I don't understand, so I keep causing friction. Mr. Chris, I'm not a motherfucking fiction.
So when my heart gives up, then my veins won't pump, then my lungs cave in.
Little cuss word slip by there, but
hey,
the point is, though, now these haters get mad because I roll paperless, buried my own person, resurrected my soul, standing over the system, staying out of control. No, I don't understand, so I keep causing friction. Mr. Chris, who? I'm not a fiction. I think that's the message to get to people. because that helps them realize that they're not the legal fiction. They're not what the system has created them to be. And when we disjoin ourselves from the two, then we can really live free. I mean, is that the answer, Max?
Well, it's to realize the system's fiction, you know. I mean, we need some sort of a administrative system because of the societies we've constructed for ourselves. I mean, we need to know the traffic lights work and that, you know, the food's going to flow and the water's going to work. But it's just this legal cage that's been constructed around us where it's becoming so that it's illegal to virtually walk outside of the line. You know, it's already illegal to drive on the other side of the line or to, you know, step outside of the box. So that's what they're trying to do, just locking human consciousness down more and more and more with a system that is essentially fiction. That's the problem. You know, this whole legal system has been designed to replace the lawful system, and the lawful system is natural law. You know, this whole birth certificate thing, I mean, it's all just a big scam. The whole lot of it's a big scam, and it's all fiction.
One of the things that, you know, when you declare yourself a sovereign individual or divine individual, and the legal system, you know, even like law enforcement finds out about that, you are then considered could be considered a terrorist, could be considered a person of danger. It seems to me it's like, you know, how do we get out of this matrix that we're in, you know, because, you know, the straw man theory or the straw man law, you know, that we are sovereign beings, that, you know, that we're just treated like cattle. How do we break through? I mean, how can we revolt against all this? I mean, really, there seems like there's so much less, you know, the governments are small opposed to how many there are of us. But it seems like no one wants to wake up to this, and everybody just wants to be a slave to the system.
Well, yeah, people feel safe in their cage. You know, people are safe knowing they don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, that they're going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be exactly the same as what it was today. Mm-hmm. And that their bills are going to be paid and they're going to be able to feed their children because they're kind of scared to think outside of the box. But ultimately, when you look at it, you know, people going down the path of sovereignty and UCC forms and doing all this stuff and writing letters to the Vatican and giving back their birth certificate and all this sort of stuff. I mean, that's all very well if you're going to do it on an individual level. But then, as you say, society is just going to look at you as a threat or a possible terrorist or a weirdo or whatever. So the best thing we can really do is to take the rest of humanity with us. And I look at it from the perspective of, if I have to fill out a form and send to somebody to establish my freedom, then how free do I think I am?
Exactly.
So what I need to do is to lead by example in my community, treat other people as myself, give to my community, be a pleasure to be around, and gather a large group of friends who all start gaining a more realistic perspective of reality and all start operating with each other energetically and gradually create a ripple that spreads out to my whole community. And then the community can simply step away from the system. We can do what we want. We don't have to do what the council says. We employ the council. People need to change their perspective. You know, we employ the government to act as our administrative arm. We don't have to do what they say. They have to do what we say. But we've forgotten that because of this education system. So the only way to get that happening and get that attitude happening is to lead by example and be a pleasure to be around, get to know your community. Be a really happy, empowered, positive person, and people want to know you, and they want to know why you're so happy and empowered and positive. It's because you know how reality works. You know how the system works, and so they want the information. So you've got to lead by example. You can't go out screaming fear, fear, fear at people. You've just got to explain to them how the system works and be an absolute pleasure to be around. You know, and why wouldn't you be a pleasure to be around? If you understand how reality works, you understand that there's only really one of us here, and you treat everybody as yourself, Where's the problems that exist with anyone? I honestly don't have a problem with anybody that I know. There is not one person that I know or that I've ever met that I would not invite into my home and treat as myself. And that's the way I approach reality. I mean, it's so simple to do. And that, you know, imagine if everybody did that. Imagine if everybody in the community just did that, suddenly let down their guard and started treating people as themselves. And if the council said jump, you'd say, well, no, sorry, you jump. You know, you're our employees. And while you're at it, fix all these problems you've created because that's what we employ you to do. And if you're not going to do it, well, you can step down and we'll put some honest people there. And do that all the way up the government. See, that's how we do it. It's got to be grassroots. You can only do it through your community, but you've got to have an empowered community. I don't have to fill out any forms to establish my freedom. I'm free. If you're claiming that I'm not, show me proof of claim. I mean, right. As far as I know, I was just born under God. Even under your legal system, it says, you maybe go to your court and swear on the Bible. Well, it says in Genesis there that God created man and gave man dominion over the earth, and my name's man. So if you're claiming anything other than that, then show me proof of claim. You know, I'm not scared of you. I'm not scared of your system. You know, if there's no injured party for anything I've done, then I've broken no law. And if you're claiming a statute's a law, show me proof of claim. You know, I just approach it that way with everybody. And
you're even absolutely when I get, right.
Asked for ID. I was out recently and I was asked for ID, and I basically went through this whole little series of questions with the cop, and he ended up just walking away from me.
Right.
So,
right.
You know.
Well, it's interesting that you state that, because I was when we're echoing for some odd reason.
You're echoing a little, Max.
Okay. I was in a court of law a little over a year ago for a traffic ticket, and of course I saw my name spelled in capital letters, and I'm like, no, I don't want to be an artificial person. I want to be a sovereign person. I want you to lower the casing on that. And I was talking to my lawyer. I said, you know, I want to be protected under sovereign strawman law. And the lawyer says, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, BS. I know exactly, you know exactly what common law is all about. And I'm like, you know what? All this position, this traffic ticket that I'm getting is absolutely illegal and has nothing to do with any laws that I've broken. I have a right to drive a vehicle.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, most of this stuff is just statute regulations. I mean, so you've just got to know how to approach it. But the thing is, the only real gateway we've got, the only way we're really going to change this is if we have an empowered community. That's why it's so important for people to break down the barriers they have with people. Be in the right energetic state. When you're in that high frequency and that high energetic state, and you understand how reality works and what you are and what the people around you are, suddenly all the barriers break down. And that's how we do it. But people just have to, you know, change their perspective of reality. That's really all it would take. You know, there's no violent revolution, no movement, not the Zeitgeist movement, not Kony, not anything. No controlled movement that's going to change anything. Not until human beings change their perspective of reality and change their perspective of each other.
Absolutely. We just went to break on the Oracle stream. I completely missed it. But I'm right there with you, Max. And your connection is a little bit low quality. Let me reconnect with you and see if we can get a little better quality. I've been having problems with Skype all night.
All right, mate.
Okay. I think the solar flares had something to do with it.
Oh, I honestly think that's what I was thinking exactly. Man, have you seen the auroras down in Antarctica?
Woo-hoo! No,
and you,
no.
And you know another M8 just came out of the sun just hours ago, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, another huge, the big brother to, it's a larger one because it was an M5, the last one, and now this one's an M8.
Wow.
Yeah, this one's a lot bigger, huge, and it's directed directly towards Earth. It's coming.
Max, have the solar flares affected you down there at all?
Well, but it could be what's causing this disconnection, mate.
Yeah, I think
you
so.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's it sound now?
It's still the same. At least it's the same on my end. I don't know. Is it any clearer?
Sounds fine on my side.
Oh, does it? Okay. It might just be coming into me.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we
My connection's usually there. Pretty good.
Skype has been giving me problems last week and this week, so
yeah,
maybe it's something here on my end that I need to fix. You're coming in clear, Donnie.
Yeah, Roy Martin just said, yeah, M8.4 solar flare plus CME recorded on 10th of March and is Earth-directed.
Hmm. I wonder if we're going to get the big one that's going to knock out the satellite systems and send us back to the dark ages.
I don't think so.
No.
I still believe that we have ancient technology in place. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think it's just a fear tactic. Keep the vibrations low.
Ah, good perspective. Yes. I heard that the pyramids were activating themselves and a couple of other ruins.
Mayan pyramids have been activating themselves. We've been seeing weird flares coming out of the tops of pyramids that are actually connecting, that are like all shooting out into outer space. It's been weird. Some of this and some of the volcanoes.
I've seen some pictures of them. Hard to confirm, but very, very interesting, isn't it?
It is, definitely. Hold that thought, guys. Let me reconnect. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Short segment, then we'll have the long 20-minute segment after this with Max Egan, our great, great guest. And if you missed any of the show, you can always download it at truthfrequencyradio.com. Donnie Gilson of 32 Degrees of Insanity is riding shotgun with us. And during the break, we were talking about solar flares, and we have a kind of a weird connection with Max, and I've had a few problems connecting through Skype as well, so I'm wondering if that has anything to do with it. But Max, we were kind of mentioning the possibility of a solar flare hitting and knocking out the satellite systems. Donnie brought up a great point where he said, well, I think we have ancient technology in place to prevent that, and all of it's just fear, fear, fear to keep us in that low frequency vibration. But do you foresee anything like that happening, or do you agree with Donnie that that's just fear, fear, fear?
Yeah, honestly, look, I've spoken to people before about celestial events, and I don't concern myself with celestial events at all, because they're just things that happen. If they're going to happen, they happen, and there's very little I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So I just don't concern myself with them. I don't see it as an issue, because I'm not scared of death. And I don't think we're going to die. There's going to be some big, big event. But by the same token, because I don't fear that sort of stuff, I just don't really think about it.
Well, the one thing they were guaranteed in life is death and taxes.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly, but we're trained to live our life in fear of death. I mean, we're living our life, our entire life, in fear of the only part of life that which is absolutely inevitable. It seems pretty pointless to me.
It is. It's very pointless. And, you know, people are going, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, there's, you know, everybody says the end of the world is happening. And Nancy said, you know, in the beginning of the show, Chris, you know, it's a growth. You know, we are going to enter into I believe that we're going to enter into higher consciousness. I think that, you know, these minions that have been, creating this low vibrational frequency are going to either be overthrown and some sort of, you know, betterment will come in, or you know what? God's going to say, screw it. We're done. Let's start all over again. And I don't have a problem with it. Go ahead.
How's the film coming along, Max?
Oh, look, slowly but surely, Chris. I've been so busy with other things, this whole Chappelle Corby thing and all of the stuff that's been rolled out here in Australia. We've had lots of issues going on here, and I've been doing lots of meetings and meeting people and speaking and all sorts of stuff. So, but I'm back onto it. I actually got back into it again today, and I'm going to get right into it for the next couple of weeks. So, you know, I actually want to make another one now as well. So it's kind of juggling everything I'm doing. Very, very busy.
More ideas than time. I know all about that. I've got about three different projects that I'm working on, and it's hard to find the time. It really is.
It's very difficult to find the time, but it's all coming together. But I mean, this year's just been snowballing. I mean, I said to people way back at the start of the year, you buckle your seatbelts because we're in for a hell of a ride this year. And we certainly are. They're just ramping things up to the max. But like I said, I mean, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So the more they ramp it up, the more people wake up. They're doing their best to keep the energy low. And I'm just buzzing. I'm just peeing off the walls. So it's not working with me. But, yeah, they're trying, but I think this is the year that we will change things. I really do. I think that a lot of people are going to wake up this year.
Absolutely. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take another network break, but we'll keep it going on stream number two for you guys. We will be right back.
Oh, I agree with that. I think that this is the year of change. I can feel it in my soul. How about you guys? I mean, I really do. I feel it. You know, I feel it's already happening.
Well, it is, you know, there's just certain forces that are trying to control it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I mean, this is happening through nanotechnology, even through the chemtrails, and there's so much going on that people don't understand, so much going on in our environment that people aren't dealing with.
And, yeah, it seems like the chemtrails have, you know, I think it's because of the cold and the, you know, we're into the winter months, but man, they were chemtrailing like crazy all summer and all fall long here. It was just insanity. How much chemtrailing I was seeing. Do they chemtrailing a lot over there in Colorado right now?
Yeah, definitely. They do it on a daily basis. I've actually noticed it not as bad as I did last May, June, July. So I think the weather has something to do with it.
I think it is. I think weather has a little bit to do with it because I think that whatever they're chemtrailing doesn't have a shelf life up there in the atmosphere when you're at 59 below zero. You know, because you know, as the cold air, especially over the United States, the Midwest and into the West, you know, we're getting temperatures on the ground here at 10, 20 degrees. As you go up into the atmosphere, it's just getting colder and colder as you climb up. I don't think those chemicals could survive.
Well, some of the nanoparticulates that they put into them actually probably could, because it's pretty bizarre, some of the stuff. I mean, some of the tests that Cliff Carnicom's done with them, He's actually put them under Bunsen burners and stuff, and they haven't damaged them.
It hasn't damaged them, huh?
Yeah, you find that these nanoparticulates are like a cross between the three types of life forms, between eukarya, bacteria, and archaea. And archaea exist in lava flows. They exist in ice shelves. So they can live in the ice, this bacteria that can live in the tundra, you know.
Oh, okay. Yep, yep.
So these things are incredibly robust. And what's in the chemtrails, you find, is nanoparticulates. We've got clouds here in the sky. Even when they don't spray chemtrails, there's these strange, wispy-looking clouds blowing around.
Yeah.
These are controllable nanoparticulates that act like almost like a hive mind. They're programmable. And you can steer these clouds around. You know, they're these real wispy-looking clouds. And if you look at the sky now, even on a really clear day, it's not that deep, deep blue that it used to be when we were kids.
Right.
It's now just this light metallic blue, and the further you get down towards the horizon, it turns into a whitey haze, even on a clear day, because air is full of nanoparticulates.
Like the sun itself looks very washed out and white. You know, it doesn't. I remember when I was a kid, you used to be able to go out, watch the sunset. You could see the roundness of the sun. Now it's just this white haze around the sun. Is it?
Yeah. It's all nanoparticulates in the air. These things are incredibly small, and they're incredibly robust, and they're in everything. They're absolutely in everything. They're in all the water, all the food. Even if you're growing organic gardens and organic food, it's still coming down. It's still in there. It's in everything. Yeah. You know. So that's what the chemtrails are mainly about. It's infusing everything with nanobots. That's what they're doing. That's something that people just don't take into account. So there are certain forces that are attempting to control the evolution of humankind. You know, they're putting vaccinations in people, changing people's genetic structure, and then they're giving them all these nanoparticulates. So everyone asks, why would the elite be spraying themselves? Well, it's because they want transhumanism. And they're having different genetic codes put into their bodies, so they'll react in a different way to what the general population will, depending on what food they've eaten and what genetic codes they've injected into them through vaccines and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, this is where all the smart meters come in and all this. I mean, it all ties together. And the chemtrails are a really big part of it.
Well, let me ask you this, Max. I just got news from Santos Bonacci, who hosts the show right after ours. And he got sick with the flu. He's got the same stomach virus that Cherie and I came down with about 2 weeks ago. And I haven't been sick since the early 90s. So this came as a very big shock and surprise. Donnie also came down with the flu a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
Are they using the chemtrails to pass this around?
Well, chemtrails are a multi-platform. They're a delivery system for all sorts of stuff. You spread viruses, you spread, you know, different electromagnetic particles. So it makes HAARP work better as well, because it creates a flux in the atmosphere. You've got this electromagnetic flux. You've got all the barium in there so you can track everybody. Everyone's worried about being tracked by their mobile phones. That's not a problem at all, man. You're full of barium. You show up on the X-band radar whether you've got a mobile phone on you or not. Mobile phones are great for programming people at close range and keeping them in a convoluted electromagnetic field. That's why they want everyone to have one. But there's so much going on with chemtrails. They're a delivery system for so many things. But the main delivery system that they are is nanoparticulates. That's the main thing that they're doing. And you ever watched a film called Transcendent Man by Ray Kurzweil? He talks about it. He says openly at the end of the film, soon everything will be infused with nanobots. You know, nanobots will, all the rocks and the trees and the plants and everything will be infused with nanotechnology. Really, well, how do they expect to do that? What sort of delivery system would you employ if you wanted to do that? Chemtrails. That's right. What you'd do. You'd spray the world with chemicals. And if these things are programmable, self-replicating nanoparticulates that you can grow in a petri dish, you get some agar culture and put it in a petri dish, get some saliva or something and put it in there. Go get a bit of plant bacteria, a little bit of plant leaf or something from outside, a piece of grass, and put it in a petri dish and grow it and grow a culture out of it, and then get some of that culture and look at it under a powerful microscope and tell me what you see. You know, what you see is fibers, nanoparticulate fibers. That's what people are finding in these cultures that they're growing. So where is this coming from? Why is it in everything? How come you can take some saliva, you can take a blood sample, you can take a sample from nature, and you can put it there and you can grow these fibers out of pretty well everything? Because it's all infused with these nanoparticulates. So the question is, what are these things doing, and what's the plan? You know, transhumanism. Merging humanity with machine, creating a Borg-like race. That's what the elites are attempting to do, and a lot of people are distracted by all this other stuff. They're not paying attention to what's going on around them.
Right. Let's go to the phone lines real quick, because we've got a few callers that want to put their opinions on the record. Let's go to Richard in Washington State. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just a response to Max. Here in America, we have the ability to be sovereigns in a constitutional republic. In Australia, they are already socialistic. But when you're in a corporate commercial legal system, there's always a remedy. Here in the United States, as Catherine Austin Fitz has indicated, we can call what has happened to us fraudulent inducement. If it's fraud, it's void. Everything that's happened to us with lack of our knowledge, it's been fraudulent. So we can choose as individuals to be a self-reliant sovereign citizen, or we can be a corporate employee, as happens in all socialistic countries. And what I would do is challenge Max and Bob Tuscan when he comes on, and Cherie specifically, to read the book The Vegetarian Myth by Lear Keith, K-E-I-T-H, The Vegetarian Myth. That is a indication of how we've got to this state and what we have to do to overcome it, and we'll deal with the all the things that are taking place that are bringing us down, like the contrails and the water that's fluoridated and chlorined, and all those things that are trying to get to our health.
The vegetarian myth. Okay, tell us a little bit about that. Max.
I just put the audiobook in the chat room.
Oh, nice. But go ahead, Max.
I actually think that the vegetarian, I was speaking to someone about this the other day. I got a friend who's got a vegan cafe, and I've always said to him, look, you know, the problem isn't eating meat. The problem is factory farming. That's the problem. And he gets very, very irate about it when I talk to him about it. And I said to him, look, the vegetarian experiment is an experiment. You're not going to know how it works until you see three generations of pure vegetarians to see how they turn out. But I find it very interesting that we are seeing all this massive genetic manipulation of all of our food happening. And even with the chemtrails and the nanoparticulates, like I said, it doesn't matter if you're eating organic food, you're still eating what's coming down in the chemtrails. So I find it very interesting that this whole spiritual, hippie, enlightened movement has promoted vegetarianism, and then as soon as they did that, all this genetic manipulation started.
Right.
I think there's a bigger picture that people aren't seeing here when it comes to vegetarianism. And, you know, like, I eat mainly vegetables. I eat meat sometimes, but I'm basically a vegetarian because I just don't really like meat that much. And it isn't because of any moral thing or anything like that. I just like to eat healthy food, and I like vegetables. I like fruit. But when I look at dietary anthropology, for example, you could look at the American Indians. The diet was 4 pounds of buffalo meat a day. These guys never had cavities. They never had heart disease. They never had any problem. Look at Inuits. They live on 100% meat. They don't have any problem with any of these sorts of things. So I don't think meat is the problem. I think factory farming is the problem. And I think that there's a bigger agenda with vegetarianism simply because of what I'm seeing with the genetic alteration of all life on this planet.
There is nothing like a 32-ounce porterhouse, though. medium rare, too. But I think one of the problems with not eating meat is that it puts you in a passive state. You know, the testosterone isn't there. You're not, you know, eating that, you're not being the, I guess, caveman. You're kind of off balance, I guess. It's hard for me to say, but
your animal side is gone.
Exactly. Your animal instincts are gone. Any thoughts on that, Max?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't have a problem with people eating meat at all. I just don't particularly fancy the stuff, you know. But, I mean, sure. I mean, when I do eat it, I really enjoy it. But it's just not very often. But like I said, I don't think the problem's eating meat. I think the problem's factory farming. I think that's been used to demonize eating meat. But the vegetarian experiment is exactly that. It's an experiment. We haven't seen three generations of full vegetarians to see how these people are genetically, how they've changed, what different sort of body structures they have, or how their organs are functioning. We haven't seen any of this. It always takes three generations. We haven't, you know, and there isn't a race in history that was fully vegetarian. And plus, I mean, vegetables are seasonal. So the idea that you're supposed to eat a big plate of lettuce every day is ridiculous because they don't grow all year. So if you're living in the wild, you wouldn't be able to eat a plate of lettuce every day. You know, so now you've really got to put things in perspective. I really don't have a problem with what people eat at all. I think it's more of an energetic thing. So yeah, to each their own. But I think there's even with the whole vegetarian thing, these people claim to be fully awake because I'm a vegetarian, and yet I'm going to belittle and attack anyone who isn't. So how awake are you if you're going to do that?
That's true.
You know. So yeah, like I said, it's an experiment, and I don't have a problem with meat eaters at all. I have a big problem with Monsanto, and I have a big problem with factory farming. I have a big problem with growing animals just to kill them and eat them. You know, but hey, you know, I think if you're catching your meat in the wild and you're a hunter and living the way you're supposed to, I don't have a problem with that at all.
I think it's the way that the animals are raised and taken care of nowadays in these processing plants. It's extremely horrific. But let's go back over to Richard.
Also that, and they're also full of bovine growth hormone and all the other crap that they inject into them. I mean, what you're eating isn't very healthy. You know.
Yeah, absolutely, Richard. Anything else on your mind?
Yeah, I agree with all that, but history is the example. We have already decided what is happening. Where is the Egyptian, the Mayan, the Aztec culture, the Romans, the last republic? Where did they all go? And the key is the food. They went from hunter-gatherers to agrarian. When they became agrarian, they started eating grains. Grains are very destructive. I ask you to read the vegetarian myth. As soon as you read that, your eyes will open, because you will find out that what is happening, it's not the water, it's not the air, it's not anything else. We've been trained to become dependent on a agricultural perspective. We've eaten grains. Grains destroy. Every one of the other cultures in history has been destroyed by grains. Grains kill and bring the end of the civilization cycle. That's happening to us just like it did the Romans. We are following the Roman perspective, and if we don't learn from history, guess what? We get to repeat it.
That's a very interesting perspective, actually, because grains are traditionally known to be what damages your organs most and what rots your teeth. This is why there's so many dental problems in Western societies, because of all the grains, processed grains, very, very bad for you.
Great call, Richard. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Kevin.
I have to look into that book, actually, Chris. That sounds like an interesting book.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And, hey, can you post the link in the Skype chat?
Yep.
So Max can get it. Okay, great. Yep. Let's go to Kevin in Minnesota. Kevin, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. Wonderful show this evening. I wanted to talk to Martha at the beginning. She was a wealth of information. Just the spirit about her was just phenomenal, too. And then Max, always enjoyed Max coming here. Had a couple questions, but my main one, which brought up with the last guest, talking about Native Americans. Now, as a Native American, what do you think that I have as a claim of my independent sovereignty? Because as the indigenous people of North America, you know, they were absolutely screwed over to be part of this whole fiasco, for what you want to call it.
Max, I guess what the caller's trying to say is he's a Native American, and the Native Americans have been screwed over.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and is there anything that he can do to claim his sovereignty as a Native American? I think the answer to that question would be that sovereignty belongs to people all across the board. It doesn't really matter what your origins are.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it. I mean, everybody can go through the whole UCC thing. Everybody can go through their returning of their birth certificate and all this sort of stuff. But again, if you've got to fill out forms to prove you're free, then how free are you? I really believe that the remedy to all of it lies in an empowered community, and that lies in people breaking down the barriers they have with the people around them. I really believe this. I've been telling people this for 4 years, and I haven't changed my story in 4 years, because when I look through all the haze and all the paperwork and all the different avenues you can go, it comes down to me just being who I am and respecting the people around me for who they are. That's what we've lost, and that's what we have to get back, because that's how we change the whole thing. You know, once people can do that and respect each other, and of course, this comes from seeing other people's perspectives as valid. As soon as you go to talk to someone and try to explain to them what's going on, you want them to see your perspective as valid, but it's a two-way street. They've probably got a completely different perspective, but you've got to see that as valid, so you don't attack them for their perspective. You have a conversation. You don't have an argument. You know, we've got to respect each other and start seeing each other as valid and start helping each other as each other. That's, I believe, the answer to the whole thing. I mean, as a Native American and wanting to go down a path of sovereignty, as far as I can see, you know, Native Americans are sovereign. They're the actual sovereign people of the country. You know, there might be all sorts of paperwork in place that says otherwise, but it only exists on paper. It's just a paper-based reality. And people are going to go with that, and they're going to believe it, and they're going to think it's real, until we've got a community empowered enough to realize that it's all just fiction. And you know, it sounds complicated, but really it's very simple. It's just getting to the people around you. That's the complicated part.
Absolutely. Anything else on your mind, Kevin?
Yeah, well, that, you know, with exactly what he's talking about, that's my theory in general, is that as a Native American with the land that has been set aside for the Anishinaabe people, I put it in theory of doing a ceremony and adopting people and say, okay, let's start a community. Let's get a group of people together and create our own community or town or city and statehood and countryhood or whatever. If there's a way to start at that angle to bring this into existence.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could do that, or you could try doing that in the community that you already live in, just breaking down those barriers, because we've already got community here. And if we can create ripples in that community, in our own circle of friends and their circle of friends, and just bigger and bigger ripples, if people start doing this in their own communities already, we can, you know, we can have the power to stand up against our local councils or our local state governor or whatever. I mean, if the governor wants to do something and the whole state says no, then what are they going to do? Oh, we're going to write it down on a piece of paper anyway. Well, we don't care, because that's just a piece of paper. There's more of us than there is of you. We're not going to let you do it. It's as simple as that, because we care about each other. And not only that, we voted you in. So unless you, if you're not going to do what we want you to do, then we'll vote you out. And, you know, we won't even, you know, just pack your bags and leave now. We'll put someone else in there, because we are the nation. You know, the people of America are the nation of America. It isn't the government. It's the people. The people make up the nation, you know, and we've been, everything's up on its head. Everything's upside down. You know, the government are our employees. They're our administrators. You know, we employ these people to make sure the trains run on time, to make sure the roads have smooth surfaces and that there's gasoline in the tank, you know, the gasoline in the pump, and food on the supermarket shelves. We don't employ them to take our rights away. And we've lost that perspective of reality. And the only way we're going to get it back is with an empowered community. And you've got to lead by example. You've got to be the change you want to see and apply it to the reality around you. I really believe that's how we have to do it.
Absolutely. Thanks for the great call, Kevin. And by the way, William White Crow wanted to speak to you, so I just sent you his phone number in Skype. So be sure to keep an eye out for that. Let's go to John in Colorado. John, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
What's up? What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I really like Max and what he has to say. Thanks, Max. Nice to meet you.
Well, you too, brother.
You know, and it is upside down. And just the other day when Panetta was saying we will go to war and consult with Congress, that was a good example of what you're saying, how it's so upside down. Did you happen to hear that?
Yeah, well, everything that they've done is upside down. Everything they always do is upside down. The whole world is upside down. Even our, all of our systems, our education systems, you know, our legal systems are designed to take away people's rights, you know. Education systems designed to keep people stupid. You know, health systems designed to steal people's health. You know, everything's upside down, and everything they do is upside down. Everything they say is upside down, and they've got the people believing that this upside down reality is real. When really the people, we the people, are the very top of the food chain. You know, mankind, you know, God created man. Man created society. Society created government. They're way down the food chain. We are way above that, but we've forgotten it. And that's what we have to get back. And the only way we're going to get it back is by respecting each other.
Amen. Max, are you, what community are you living in?
I live in Byron Bay in Australia, just a small town. Quite a lot of awake people in the town. And, yeah, I've got a pretty good group of friends here. I live in a 52-acre property just near town, and we grow food here, and it's good. It's a good life.
Wow. What's the name of the town?
Byron Bay.
Byron Bay. Oh, I just want to look it up on the map just to see where it's at.
It's the most easterly point of Australia.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Max, for giving us some hope here.
Thanks for the great call, John.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening.
And, Max, we've got about 3 minutes left. I just want to thank you for joining us once again. I mean, it's always fascinating and enlightening when we have you on. Anything you'd like to leave the audience with?
Look, I think we're in for a hell of a ride this year. I really do. And I think we've really got to maintain our energy in this year. You know, I think that a lot of people this year are going to be faced with a choice between love and fear. There's going to be some pretty heavy legislation come down on people, and things are going to get pretty ugly and in your face, and you're going to have to decide whether you're going to stand up to it from the right energetic state, or whether you're just going to simply allow the world to go down the tube that it, you know, it's going down very fast. So I think we're all going to be in for that choice this year, and I'm just hoping people make the right choice. I think we will do it. I think this is the moment we've been waiting for, you know, the big moment of enlightenment or whatever you want to call it, rapture, ascension, shift, whatever you want to call it. But I think it all comes down to the choices that we make, you know, and whatever happens, it's going to be something you have to participate in. So when you do participate, make sure you're in the correct energetic state when you do it.
Absolutely.
Outstanding.
Anything you want to add, Donnie?
No, I think he's completely 100% on the mark. I think this is going to be a big, big year, and we just got to keep our mind focused, keep ourselves on that higher vibrational level, and don't allow things to get us down. Try to just walk away from it, as you said, turn the cheek.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to see it as opportunity. All these problems are opportunities for us to come into our power and know who and what we are. I mean, the opportunity that fracking has given us, coal seam gas mining, you know, this is they're destroying our water table. This is the best opportunity we've had to unite as a species ever. It's a gift. It's a gift being given to us on a silver platter. So let's accept that gift and stand up and say, hey, it doesn't matter what you've written down. It doesn't matter what it says on this piece of paper. What matters is the water. And if you're going to destroy the water and you believe you have the right to because you wrote this on a piece of paper somewhere, well, you know, no, it's our water. We're not going to let you do that.
Yeah. I was just thinking like 2 seconds ago, I'm like, you know, how amazing is this, you know, technology can bring, you know, you're all the way in Eastern Australia, Chris is in Colorado, I'm in Reno, Nevada. How great is that? I mean, this is an opportunity for us as humanity to really come together. And as you said, a rapture, or, you know, bringing us all together. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's we're all like-minded individuals trying to make a difference in humanity.
Absolutely. You just got to apply yourself to the reality in which you live. Too many people don't do that. They get in that energetic state, but they fail to apply it to the world around them. But I believe that we'll do that this year, and I think we've been giving every opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Max. We appreciate it. And thecrowhouse.com is the website, correct?
That's the one.
Great. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with another half-hour Popeye of federaljack.com will be joining us.